Good evening. It's a nice rainy night. Good night to be inside worshiping the Lord. I bless the Lord.
Is it raining out there?
I think so. But anyways, tonight I want to talk a little bit about kind of a viewpoint that God wants us to have, kind of some of the things that He wants us to understand. And the title of this is Love Me Tender, Love Me True. Remember that song? I grew up hearing the ballads sung by Elvis Presley. And an especially sweet one was Love Me Tender. I'm gonna ask Lisa, unprepared here, just to come up, and if she could just this little piece right here. And I've got the words right here. If you could just kind of take a deep breath and get that beautiful angelic voice out there and just sing that little piece right there, if you could. If you remember the tune to that. Oh, just hum it or do something, whatever. I'm sure you'll figure it out.
No pressure.
Yeah, no pressure. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfilled. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. Love me tender, love me true, all my dreams fulfilled. For my darling, I love you, and I always will. Thank you. I really appreciate that on-the-spot thing there. But as I was going over some things before the Lord, that I don't know why I just wrote it down, that song just came to me, and it's like it's a tender love song, really, that the Lord sings to us. I mean, I'm not saying he's up there singing Elvis Presley tunes, don't get me wrong here, you know, I just can't see him up there jazzing out, but all of our dreams are truly fulfilled in Him, and I can just hear Him say that, I love you. And I always will. That just kind of was in my heart there. So I as I was thinking on that kind of love that God has for us and the type of love that He wants us to have for Him and for others, that song just kind of was drifting around in there. And so, you know, that it's kind of one of those songs that can kind of get stuck in your head, so we'll probably all leave church going, whatever. But it's just, you know, it's just a sweet song, and you think about the love of the Lord and, you know, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But then the reality of the world sinks in. I mean, God's not telling us to live in a fantasy world. We have to look at the reality around us. It's a broken, sin-sick world. There's many bright spots in it. Many people love the Lord. There's a whole bunch of people that don't love the Lord. They're doing good things. All the rest of that gyrations out there. But the truth of Jesus Christ is what we want to get through to each and every one. Not religion, but relationship with God. God set the standard, not us. Man's broken mind has come up with every kind of idea and ideation about a spiritual realm. Some say there is none, no God, whatever, done, over. Some say there's many gods, some say there's one God. I mean, it goes on, and the variations are huge in between. But people are forgetting, we were born broken because of what Adam did. So anything you come up from that natural nature, your emotions, your feelings, your desires, and your thoughts, they are stained, they are broken, they are not aligned with truth automatically. You come to Jesus Christ, ask Him to forgive you, and He comes inside, the Spirit of God indwells you. Now you got a fighting chance. You have His Spirit directing you, not your broken thinker, your broken feeler, and your broken wanter. And I look around, and extremist Muslims are beheading people across the pond there. God knows when it's going to come over here. Dictators are still out there murdering men and women and children. Child beatings and abuse, the Ebola virus. Here in our own country, school shootings and murders, and unfortunately in quite an abundance. But in the midst of all of that, I don't want us to be discouraged. I don't want us to go into the dark hole. I don't want us to go, woe is me, the sky is falling. This has been going on since the beginning. Hello, beheadings are not new. Rape is not new. Child abuse is not new. Adultery is not new. Homosexuality is not new. Bestiality is not new. All you don't even get out of Genesis. It's all recorded. Why did God say, thou shalt not? Because they were. There is impurity in all the things that come up from the broken nature of man. But even in the midst of all of the stuff that I just listed, plus the bazillions of things I didn't list, the wafting sounds and words of that song keep coming back to me. Love me tender. Love me true. Yes, Lord, I want that. There has to be truth in there. This is a tender God. This is a loving God. This is a compassionate God. It's not that wrath will step on you like a bug thing. Man has come up with that. This thing about law and legalism and Phariseeism and religiousness is coming out of the pit of hell. It's not coming from the heart of God. So I want to encourage us. Only God can convict your heart on this. I'm not saying to be running around like, oh, having fun and dandy. It's not. There's many wrong things going on in the world because they are not led of God. But I don't want us to enter the darkness. I want us to be above it. We are in the light. We are going to see the way in which to go. We're going to know what it is. But don't think you're going to be free from turmoil and confusion. You have to go through it because you have to see. It has to be exposed to you what's in you. Not your neighbor. All of this is so that God can get you cleaned out. Now, when I think of that song about God loving us, and I love God and God loves me, he talks about loving others like he loves others and like he loves us. But how can you love someone who's done such disastrous things? Now, we're separated from some of those things that are going on over there, but what about when it comes closer? What if that was your son beheaded? I mean, I just can't even wrap my head around that. I mean, not that he was killed in an accident. I mean, even the way he was killed, I cannot wrap my head around that. And God is willing to take someone even that way, even someone who's done that, if they repent. He'll clean them. He'll take them. So don't think you've done anything so bad that you can... This has been going on from the very beginning. God, this is exactly what God said when he talked to Adam. Not just yesterday, when he talked to Adam. How very long ago that was. When you disobey, death is going to enter in. If you don't think all of this sin sick stuff, go in and look at it yourself in Galatians, the 5th chapter, the list of deeds of the flesh, and it gives a list of pretty horrible things. And then it says, so it wasn't an exhaustive list, because at the very end it says, and things like this. Like these. Whoa. So we live in a dark and a hollow world sometimes that's full of these things. And what are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be light. Now, I was reading through, there's a devotional that I have used over the years and I've gone through off and on. And Philip Yancey, he wrote a devotional book called Grace Notes. And he touches on many subjects all over. He writes for Christianity Today. He's written, I don't know how many bazillion books, whatever. So he's taken excerpts from them and made a little devotional out of some of these stories and things. But he shares from his heart on his life journey and his many struggles in the Christian life. And it's difficult. The Christian life is hard because you're constantly fighting yourself, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is everybody else. The flesh is you, and the devil is the devil. It's a constant battle going on. But God said the battle is his, not yours. So you need to be led by his Spirit. So he talks about how God has helped him to overcome all of the many trials and things. And the other day, he touched on something that goes along with the love me tender thing. So I kind of, I didn't exactly know what God wanted to share tonight. So I'm kind of writing this thought down, right? I said, God, I'm feeling something here. And he put that together. In Yancey's September 1st devotional comments, he talks about our society unraveling and immorality increasing. Well, there's a lot of people talking about that. You read back in the year 600 some of the things that were written. I mean, people have been talking about this. I look back in the early 1900s, and like the Flapper Girls, the Bathtub Gin, and all the stuff. I mean, it's always been going on. And now we have all this free abortion and all this sexual confusion and identity and gender and all this stuff's going on. But it's not new. It has maybe come up a little bit more because we used to have a moral edges that kind of put some edges on that. And not necessarily physical laws. It was already in the heart of the people who loved God. See, God will never lead you to sin, so you kind of already didn't do those things if you got Him inside. And then you have some of the laws that we used to have, and then as you put those laws away, as you put those barriers away, thinking under the guise of the deception of the adversary, this is freedom. We have so much sexual freedom. Well, we also have an increase in unwanted pregnancies, an increase in disease. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff. So what does man do? Does he stop the immorality? No, he comes up with condoms and pills and antibiotics to take care of the diseases that you get. You know, it's like, our approach is always so wrong. So as these freedoms, which are really bondage, that's what the deception was in, he is making a note about this, how this immorality is increasing. And he notes that the response of some Christians to this immorality, and this is where I, it's a caution for us, this love me tender thing, we got to keep this as a basic foundation here in God. Some of the Christians are going back to the Old Testament style of response to immorality, and they're showing less mercy, and they're getting more law. Phariseeism and religiousness is coming and creeping back into the church. My gosh, he gives an example that really struck my heart, and I want to share that with you, how we're supposed to respond. We're not supposed to be beating people to sticks. Sinners, sinners, stop it, nasty, dirty. No, the church has somehow morphed into that. How did that happen? Jesus did not hit anybody with a stick. He was in the midst of people who were blaspheming him, midst of people who were sinning and doing all sorts of things. All the things I just mentioned were going on back then too, and he walked in the midst of it. He didn't partake, but he also didn't beat them with a stick. And the example that Yancey noted was that Peter and Paul talked about Christians because they brought a message of Christianity to a pagan world. And also a Jewish world. So there was legalism, laws, all sorts of stuff going on. They brought a message that talked about Christians should be dispensers of God's grace. And I go, yeah, that's really true. And then he gives a word picture that really hit me, because word pictures really helped me in terms of dispensing God's grace. And he gave the example. Now, some of us are old enough that we saw them and sometimes used them, but remember the old perfume atomizers? They didn't have the spray bottles, you know, like you pump spray, now you spray a little perfume on. They had the atomizers, which was like a little bulb, a little rubber bulb that was attached to the bottle that had the perfume in it, and you pumped the bottle, and it pumped the air in, and it forced the perfume out through the little holes in the top, so you did that. So he said that he talked about these perfume things. Once you sprayed that out, it not only got on you, you could smell it in the room. So it dispensed a fragrance. And he says, that's what a dispenser of grace is like. You should bring a sweet fragrance to the situation. And he said, it was absolutely amazing. That's how grace works. It doesn't change the whole world and all of society, but it brings a sweet-smelling fragrance to the situation, whether it's a fight between a husband and wife, whether it's a dispute at work, whether it's a worldwide situation, whatever it is, grace brings a sweet fragrance to the situation. But he goes on to say that somehow, see, that used to be the image of the Christians. See how they loved one another was in the early writings. They would come, they would help the widows and the poor. They didn't care if you were rich or poor. The message of the gospel of salvation was for everybody. There was kindness, there was love. People are always hearkening back to community living. Well, you can only really have community living work when you're all filled with the Spirit of God and having Him lead you. Otherwise, it's going to be that rotten nature, that stinking thinking, that broken mind, will, and emotions fighting against the broken mind, will, and emotions. So people try to do communes, community living, all this kind of stuff. It doesn't work, but the early Christians used to be dispensers of grace. They had the power of God's Spirit flowing through them. They brought a sweet fragrance to any rotten, dirty situation. But somehow, that image is gone. Somehow, in many instances, instead of enriching the situation, many the picture, and you see this in books and movies and people that don't know the Lord are using this, but somehow the image of the Christian has morphed into a different kind of spray. It's more like a bug exterminator. It seems that some Christians have taken on the task of being moral exterminators of the evil infesting the society. And it's more like a spray, stomp, spray, stomp, spray, stomp. That's not going to bring any kind of grace to the situation. That's pounding down. God showed us a long time ago in the school, you don't pound anyone down from the top. You lift them up from underneath. Grace is a lifter. Law and legalism is a pounder down from the top. It's not of God. It's the only thing that could help you a little bit before Jesus came, because there was no Spirit of God indwelling the people. So the law is the thing that all, if they had to rally around, it was the only thing that they had to identify with any kind of obedience. But with Jesus Christ within, led by the Spirit, it says if you're led by the Spirit, you cannot sin. Wow, what a difference from just having the law holding God's wrath off of you versus the Spirit of God that can actually keep you pure. Wow. So we don't want to be, you know, the local pet, the bug spray people around here. So now I'm deeply concerned with the moral downturn in our country. I speak in the high schools on this and in other places all the time, and wrote a book on it, DMR5, The Next Generation, that clearly outlines a specific change. I have lived long enough to see a sea change in this country. I haven't lived in other countries. I've lived here, and I've seen a huge moral change from a higher standard to a lower standard. So I'm deeply concerned, and about our country and the world in general. But we don't need to be that moral roach spray. We need to do what Jesus did. We need to be the perfume in the situation. I'm not talking about covering up sin either. I'm not, you know, because you can not take a shower and just spray around, you're still going to stink. a little while, your perfume's going to wear off and the original stink is going to be there. Jesus never, ever, we need to follow him. He never approved of evil, but he was always ready to forgive it. Oh, okay, Lord. How and why do I do that? Another famous writer, Dorothy Day, she's written a number of things. She says, and this really, really puts it right in one smacko sentence, I really only love God as much as I love the person I love the least. Whoa. Right between the eyes. So think of anyone in your life that you're having a little difficulty with. I really only love God as much as I love the person I love the least. See, God's going to allow us practice. He's not angry with us when we fail. He's a great teacher. He's just going to bring the course around again. He's going to bring the class around again. He's going to bring the test around again. And he's never going to hate you in it. We need to do that one to the other. So, you know, when I think on all these things, I go, God, I'm not really doing too well. I need to start humming that song, Love Me Tender. As I said, Jesus is our example. Jesus honored the dignity of every person. I see that as I read the scriptures, and I am enthralled with Jesus. And I look and I go, whoa. You see, he had a human body just like me, but he was filled with God's Spirit, and he never, ever, no matter what. See, because he didn't have flesh like we did in terms of broken flesh, but he had the world and he had the devil around. He had every opportunity, just like we do, to fail and to fall. But he never did, because he never disobeyed God. So he honored the dignity of every person, whether he agreed with them or not. There were many that were sinners. I mean, I remember what he said to the woman caught in adultery. I mean, they're still stoning women over in some of the barbaric countries today. But he didn't stone her. And he wasn't going to go up and say, don't do that, because that was their law at the time. Not God's law, that was their law. They added on to God's law, that was their law. And he wasn't going to get into a hornet's nest. Don't get into a fight with someone you disagree with. Don't be entering. The adversary wants you. I see these people that are protesting. It's okay to put your point out there. But the venom, the hatred, the anger, the abortion people, the anti-abortion, the pro-abortion, this and that and the other, ISIS and pro-ISIS and back and forth, all this stuff. They're entering into a fight. They're getting caught up in exactly what the devil wants them to do. They're being distracted. You're supposed to fight the devil, not each other. So whether Jesus agreed with them or not, that wonderful, wonderful account, when he went up to that woman, he didn't get embroiled with the legal aspect of it. He didn't come against the priest because they were doing that. He didn't tell the people not to. He didn't come against her and say, look at all the confusion you caused. What wisdom. All he said was, whoever is without sin, throw the first stone. You see that? That didn't address the law. It didn't address the political situation. It didn't talk about the differences. It didn't talk about her sin. What wisdom. Whoever doesn't have sin, you throw the first stone. I can just hear those stones going click, 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 click. And they quietly walked away. And he didn't leave her unscathed. He said, and you, go and sin no more. Wow. And he didn't do it angry and beating his feet. And who do people think you are? You're so impure. You're so ugly. You're so terrible. What is the Christian church doing? They're coming against homosexuals. You need to come against homosexuality, not homosexuals. These are precious people who are stuck in something that's not of God. But so are the people that are in adultery or fornication. So are the people lying on their income tax. It's all sin. Why are you picking on one over the other? Let God lead you in love. Of course I'm not going to agree with sin. But I need God's wisdom on how to deal with these things when they come up. Each one of us does. Remember, to Jesus, the person was more important than any religious, racial, or political ideation or divisions that existed. The person. That person. The person is more important than what their stupid thoughts are or their ideas or whatever. The person as a whole, that's what God wants. Wow. Okay, Lord. I need your spirit to do that. But especially today, how easy it is to get involved. If anyone hasn't noticed, there's a lot of polarization in the politics in our country today. And we need to be really careful. Someone's either right or they're wrong. It's not an R or a D or an I in front of their name, or behind their name, or whatever they put it. It's not that. What is it that God is saying to do? And that's what we need to do. We're getting caught up, I see, sometimes. I'm not saying we. I'm not pointing anyone out in here, or myself, or anything. That those we disagree with are the enemy. Ooh, don't go there. Be really careful. People who are not right with God are not our enemy. Those who come against God, not our enemy. Those that are in sin, not our enemy. Because guess what? You're going to be in sin at some point. When you give in to the flesh in any way, when you sin, when you disobey God, you're a sinner. I don't care. Little, big, whatever. We've qualified it. God hasn't. You are out away from the purity and the wonder of God. And he says, come as you are. You can go right back to him. Repentance is turning around. You're walking away. Repentance means I'm coming back. What a God we serve. Jesus changed all that stuff about enemy, disagree, you're over here, Pharisees, Jews. He says, he talks about Jews and Gentiles. He says, there's no Jew and Gentile. Talk about that. Men and women are equal. He's the first one that came up and said that, not just locally in our country. He's the great equalizer. We all are of value. But you got to make the choice to go to him. Nothing unclean is going to be in his presence. You're born unclean. Jesus Christ makes you clean. Not your ablutions and your whippings and your brown rice and your kneeling on your knees and you're doing your ceremonial things. None of that is going to clean you from the stain of your sin. Only what Jesus Christ did is going to clean you from the stain of your sin. So Jesus said we have to love the woman who's walking out from the abortion clinic, not beat her down. May God give us wisdom on how to do that. And you don't have to run to every abortion clinic in town and say, find out from God what you're supposed to do. You can pray. You can seek God. You can be driving by that clinic. There's a clinic I drive by every single time on Fletcher Avenue. And I pray and I pray and I pray. The day God tells me to go out there with a sign or something, I'll do it. But I'm praying, God, please touch those people, touch those workers. Give conviction of the heart on what's going on and not beat the people on the head. Now, what about the guy that just beheaded two American journalists? What category does he go in? In all likelihood, he's in a demonic situation where he's given his heart over to the devil. In all likelihood. But even him, if he repented, if he truly repented and came to the light in the Lord, God would forgive him. But repent, he's got to turn from that. You don't say, hey God, I love you, and then you go back and do that again. Even if you did, God's going to lead you away from it eventually. So this is a great God. This is beyond what we can understand. This is by His Spirit that we have to do that. This is a radical change. There's a book out, Radical Love or something. I forget what it was, Radical or something. And it's really true. What are you doing? You hold on. We're stuck in these little boxes, these little things that we believe about church, that we believe about God, that we believe about prayer, that we believe about worship. It's okay. Come as you are, he says. But let be open. Let God have your heart open to a new and living way. How are we supposed to get through this world, Lord, when it's full of stuff that's not of you? You are not the crusader. Jesus Christ is. He is the savior of the world, not you. But find out from him what you're supposed to do in your, what the military calls AOR, area of responsibility. So whether it's activism that someone's involved in or having some political or moral response to what's going on, just be careful. That's the point tonight. Love me tender, love me true. The point tonight, truly, you have to be careful not to drive out love and humility in your quest to try and make what a wrong is right. Be very, very careful. Love and humility by God's Spirit has to remain. If not, then we're going to be betraying the kingdom of God. And we can't do that. So where God talks about loving the enemy, he's not talking about, remember when it says love in the scriptures, And there's different words that are used in the Greek. See, in English we're limited in some things. Very complicated language. The Greek and the Hebrew a little bit less complicated. It doesn't say eros when he talks about loving one another and to love God. Eros is the love that's the physical love for marriage. That's not used there. Storge is used again another time, but that's talking about family love. It's not used when God says to love him and love one another. And phileo is that friendship love, that affection and love for your friends. And each one is different. You understand that? Marriage love, family love, and friend love. We all understand. And in the Greek, they use some different words to get that idea across. Those words were never used when he gave the command to love God and to love one another. And in John 15, verse 12, it says, "This is my commandment, that you love," agape, "that you love one another, just as I have loved," agape, "you." It's a God-level love. It is pure, it is just, it is right, it doesn't have any, there's no other motivation except love. That's something very difficult for us to understand, but something we can open our hearts to. And how has God loved us? In 1 Corinthians 13, he has loved us in this way, and this is how he says we're to love. We've heard this many, many times, and we'll finish up with this. It says that love is, when he says love one another, remember he's not talking about all that emotional soupy, I love you. He's not talking about eros. He's not talking about, hey, you my bud. He ain't talking about phileo. He ain't talking about, oh man, I love my sister, my brother, my mom, my dad. He's not talking about family love. He's talking about this wonderful, glorious love that is patient. It is kind. Ooh, just those two words. You just take those two things and you apply that to every single interaction you ever have from this day on. I tell you, you're going to struggle. And that's only two of them. But do it because you're going to press in. You're going to bring it to mind. Meditate on these things. The love God's talking about to have one for the other, even those that are doing terrible things, is patient, is kind. It rejoices with the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. Not every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Talking about believing the things of God. It hopes all things. It endures all things. And love never fails. But then, this isn't in the sequence of what it is in the scripture. I just separated them. That's what love is. What love is not? And this is where this is where people get it mixed in. This is the kind of love that people have. Love is not jealous. Whoa. Love does not brag. Love is not arrogant. Love is agape. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Oop, this is another one here. Is not provoked. Ooh, gotta work on that one. That agape love is not provoked. It does not... Sorry. It does not take into account a wrong suffered. Ooh. Agape love doesn't take into account a wrong suffered, and it doesn't rejoice in unrighteousness. That's in 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. You're all familiar with that. But I have a warning here for us. God is not saying to be stupid. Don't ever let faith throw away common sense. If someone is shooting up the local 7-Eleven, you are not required by God to walk up and go, "Hey man, I love you. I love you, man. Agape love." You will most likely be dead. So you don't throw that away. A murderer, a thief, a rapist, etc., they're going to have to give to Caesar what's Caesar's. They're going to be punished for their crimes. I mean, God's not throwing any of this out. He's talking about loving someone through their sin. There's many people sitting in jail today that have come to know the Lord, but guess what? They're going to be in jail forever because that's what their sentence was. Just because they love God and came to Him, He doesn't get rid of that. What He did get rid of is their death sentence on their soul. So they might be in prison forever, but they can be with Him forever. Your natural nature can't do what I just said. All this stuff about love me tender, love me true. Your natural nature cannot do how God wants it. Only by God's Spirit can we possibly forgive someone and then love them. So it's not, I forgive you, and then I hate you. I forgive you, but I'll never forget what you did. No, I forgive you, and God says you love them. But you can only be at peace so far as it's possible. All men, don't get mixed up here. You can have this love in your heart, but the other person reject you and reject it. That's okay. Pray for them. Just don't hold it in your heart. Just because you love them doesn't mean they're going to be changing right away, but God might use that with them. So don't expect all this peace and rosy. God says, as far as it's possible with you, you be at peace with all men. Because some are just never going to do it. They have a heart full of malice, and unless there's a miraculous intervention, nothing's ever going to change. Let God lead them as to what needs to be done. So I just want you to consider some of what we said tonight. Be careful. Careful, careful, careful. And I have to be careful myself as a warning for me not to get caught up in the venom of the world. There are dangerous terrorists out there, and they will do horrible things to people that they consider an infidel. There are people with malice that might rob your house, steal your car, do a whole bunch of things, rip you off at work. All sorts of things are going to go on. And just be careful. Don't get caught up with the venom of the world against them. Stay prayerful. Seek God for that open heart. Don't get caught up with the emotions of the political and social arenas out there. It's okay to vote. It's okay to help someone or get involved or do research and find out what's going on, these social items and these political items, but don't get caught up in the venom and in the emotions of them. And seek God for wisdom on how to respond to whatever. I'm not suggesting that we just run around and hum some happy tune, la 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 la, as you whistle through the graveyard thinking that everything is fine. But do keep singing that tender love song to the Lord. Do keep in that contact and that agape love. So that love me tender song, Jesus is singing it to us, and we need to sing it back to Him and to others. God bless you.